There are seven moments in Luke that state Jesus prayed. These seven moments represent times in our lives that we too must pray. Jesus prayed in times of obedience. It was during the 15th year of Tiberius Caesar that the word of God came to John the Baptist. He was the one that was sent to prepare the way for the Messiah. John was out in the desert of Judea preaching loudly, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is near." He called out in the desert to make straight the path for Jesus' coming. He was such an unusual character. He dressed in clothes made of camel's hair, and he wore a leather belt around his waist. He chose to eat locusts and honey. People crowded around him in the desert. They came because they wanted to hear what he had to say. And as they were listening to him about repentance, they began to repent of their sins, and they followed through with baptism in the Jordan River. One day, as John looked out in the crowd, he noticed some Pharisees and Sadducees had come along to be baptized. And John shouted at them, "You brood of vipers! Who warned you to flee from the coming wrath? You need to produce fruit in keeping with repentance. Don't say to yourselves, 'We have Abraham as our father.' I tell you that out of these stones, God can raise up children for Abraham. The axe is already at the root of the trees, and every tree that does not produce good fruit will be cut down and thrown into the fire. I baptize you with water and repentance, but the one that is coming after me, he's more powerful than I am. His sandals I'm not fit to carry. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. His winnowing fork is in his hand, and he will clear the threshing floor. He will gather up the wheat and put it in the barn. But anything that is chaff, he will throw it into the unquenchable fire." Just then the crowd ran up and said, "Well, what shall we do then? If you have two tunics, give one away. And do the same if you have food." Some tax collectors asked John, "Well, what shall we do?" "Don't collect more than is required." Then soldiers approached John and said, "What shall we do?" "Don't extort and don't accuse falsely, and be content with your pay." The people waited expectantly. They were wondering, is it possible that he is the Christ? One day, as John was preaching, he looked up and saw Jesus walking up to him. Jesus traveled all the way from Galilee for John to baptize him. John tried to deter Jesus. He said, "I need to be baptized by you. Why is it that you have come to me?" And Jesus replied, "Let it be so as now, for it is proper for us to do in order to fulfill all righteousness." So John consented. And as John was baptizing Jesus, Jesus prayed. As Jesus came up out of the water, heaven opened up and the Holy Spirit descended upon Jesus as a dove. And at that very moment, the voice of heaven called out and said, "You are my son, whom I love, and with you I am well pleased." Jesus at this time was about 30 years of age, and almost immediately the Holy Spirit led Jesus into the desert. After fasting for 40 days, Jesus was tempted by Satan. But Jesus countered every temptation that Satan put before him with the word of God. The devil left Jesus for a more opportune time, and the angels came to attend to him. And it was at this point Jesus, in his obedience, began his ministry. Jesus prayed in times of obedience because it fulfilled righteousness now. Jesus also prayed in times of serving. He was faithful at preaching and teaching what the Father had sent him to preach in the synagogues around Judea. And one day at daybreak, Jesus went out to a solitary place, but the people were looking for him. They wanted him to stay and remain there and not to leave them. But Jesus looked out at them and said, "I must preach the good news of the kingdom of God to other towns because that's why I was sent." One day, while he was standing by the lake of Gennesaret, the people were crowding around him and listening to the word of God as Jesus spoke to them near the water's edge. Jesus noticed two boats over on the side where fishermen had left them in order to clean their nets. He walked over to the boat and climbed in to Simon's, and he asked Simon to take him out a little bit on the water's edge. And he sat in the boat and he began to teach to the people on the land from the boat. When he was done, he asked Simon to go further out into the deep. And once they were far out, he told Simon, "Cast your nets." Simon said, "Master, we worked hard all night and we didn't catch a thing. But because you ask, I will." And he cast the nets out. And so many fish were caught in their nets that the nets were beginning to break. Simon called out to the other fishermen, "Come help us! We need help here!" And as they were hauling the fish into the boat, the boats were literally so full they began to sink. At this point, Simon fell on his knees before Jesus and he said, "Lord, go away from me, for I am a sinful man." And James and John, they were just as astonished at what they had seen happen. Jesus said to them, "Do not be afraid, for from now on I'm going to make you fishers of men. Come, follow me." A little while later, as they were in another town, a man had heard that Jesus was in their town, and he was completely covered with leprosy. When he saw Jesus approaching, he ran up and fell before Jesus, face down on the ground, and he begged him, "Lord, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean." Jesus looked down at the man, completely covered in leprosy. He reached out his hand and he touched him and he said, "I am willing, be clean." Immediately the leprosy was gone and the man was healed. Jesus looked at him and said, "Don't tell anyone, but go and show yourself to the priests and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded. Do this as a testimony to them." But the word of what Jesus had done, it spread fast, and the crowds were flocking after him. They wanted to hear what Jesus had to say, and they wanted him to heal all of their diseases. But as was his habit, Jesus withdrew to a lonely place to pray. Jesus prayed before and after times of serving, demonstrating his concern for man and the importance to bear testimony. Jesus also prayed in times of decision. It did not matter if Jesus was out in the grain field or in a synagogue, he faithfully taught what the Father had sent him to do, proving that he was the Lord of the Sabbath. The Pharisees and the teachers of the law, they were always looking at ways to accuse Jesus. They watched him closely and they followed him and observed what he did in order to catch him making a mistake. But Jesus knew what their thoughts were and he continued to heal and to teach on the Sabbath. And this greatly frustrated and infuriated the Pharisees and the religious leaders. But he did not let their opposition stop him. On one of those days when Jesus went up on the mountainside to pray, he spent the entire night seeking God's will. And in the morning, he called his disciples to him, and he looked out among them, and he called 12 of them to be his apostles. He invited Simon Peter and Andrew, James, John, Philip and Bartholomew, Matthew and Thomas, James, the son of Alphaeus, Simon the Zealot, and Judas, the son of James, and Judas Iscariot. He gathered up the men and they went back down to the mountain to where the crowds were gathered from all over Judea, Jerusalem, Tyre, and Sidon. And he began to teach again. And the people listened and many were healed. In fact, people with troubled spirits were healed. People desperately wanted to touch Jesus because power was literally coming out of his body and healing them. And all who touched him were healed. He looked out at his disciples and he said, "Blessed are you who are poor, for yours is the kingdom of God. And blessed you who hunger now, for you will be satisfied. And blessed are you who weep now, for you will laugh. And blessed are you when men hate you and exclude you and insult you and reject you. For this is how they treated the prophets of God. Rejoice in that day, for great is your reward in heaven. But woe to you who are rich, for you have already received your comfort. And woe to you who are well fed now, for you will go hungry. And woe to you who laugh now, for you will mourn and weep. Woe to you when all men speak well of you, for this is how your fathers treated the false prophets. But I tell you, you who hear me, love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. And pray for those who mistreat you. Jesus prayed in times of decision because he understood the urgency of the mission. Jesus also prayed in times of rejection and while taking a stand. After preaching and teaching long enough with the disciples for the disciples to know what to do, it was time for them to go out and spread the gospel without Jesus. And Jesus told them, take nothing for your journey. No staff, no bag, no money, no extra tunic. Whatever house you stay in, disciple. But if the people reject you, shake the dust off your feet and move to the next place. Go to the place that is willing to receive the testimony of the gospel. One day, while up in a private place praying, he had the disciples come near to him, and he looked out at them and he asked, who do the people say I am? And the disciples replied, well, some say John the Baptist, while others say Elijah. Some say you are the prophets from long ago that have come back to life. Jesus looked around at each of them and he said, but what about you? Who do you say I am? And Peter answered, you are Christ, Son of God. Jesus said, blessed are you, Simon, for this was not revealed to you by man, but by the Father in heaven. And I tell you, Peter, that upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. Jesus warned them, don't tell anyone. I must suffer many things and will be rejected by the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law. I will be killed, but on the third day I will raise to life. He looked out at the disciples and he said, if anyone is to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily to follow me. Whoever wants to follow me and wants to save his life, he must lose it. What good is it to gain the whole world if you forfeit your whole soul? He looked out and said, if you are ashamed of me and my words, I'll be ashamed of you when I come in my Father's glory. Jesus prayed in times of rejection and before taking a stand because he knew that opposition will come and that each must lose his life to save it. Jesus also prayed in times of great revelation. About 8 days after Peter's confession of Christ, Jesus took Peter, James, and John with him to go up the mountain with him to pray. And as Jesus prayed, the appearance of his face changed. His clothes became as white as flashes of lightning. Suddenly, two men appeared in glorious splendor and were talking with Jesus. They were speaking with him about his departure and how it would bring the fulfillment of Jerusalem. Peter and his companions were so very tired. But when they saw the glory of the men standing with Jesus, they were no longer sleepy. And as these men were leaving, Peter cried out, Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us put up three shelters, one for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. But Peter didn't know what he was saying. And while he was speaking, a cloud appeared above them, and it completely surrounded them. And a voice came from the cloud that said, this is my Son, whom I have chosen. Listen to him. When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. And Jesus walked over to them. He touched them, and he said, get up, don't be afraid. And when they looked up, they found that Jesus now stood alone. Jesus prayed in times of great revelation, because it confirmed his messiahship and it revealed the glory of the Father in him. He also prayed in times of seeking. After learning that there was a cost to following Jesus and that no one who puts his hand to the plow is fit for the service of the kingdom of God if he looks back, and after going out two by two and preaching the gospel, the disciples realized they needed to learn from Jesus more about prayer. And one day, as Jesus prayed, one of the disciples asked him, Lord, Teach us to pray as John taught his disciples to pray. And Jesus said, well, when you pray, say, Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we also forgive those who have sinned against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. He then looked at them and said, think of it this way. Suppose one of you has a friend who comes at midnight and he says, will you please lend me 3 loaves of bread because my friend is on a long journey. I have nothing to set before him. And the one that answers says, don't bother me. My doors are locked. My children are in bed asleep. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, though he not get up for him because he is his friend, he will get up because of the man's boldness and give him what he needs. So I say to you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks, it is given. For everyone who seeks, finds. And for everyone that knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you fathers, if you were asked for a fish, give him a snake instead? Or if your son asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more the Father in heaven will give the Holy Spirit to the one who asks him? Jesus prayed in times of seeking because he knew the Father would answer. Jesus also prayed in times of preparation. He was so faithful. He continued with preaching and teaching and healing. In fact, he used parables and questions to help the disciples guard against deception. And on one day, Jesus said, you need to make up your minds how you're going to handle yourselves. Stand firm and you will gain life. Be always on watch and pray that you will be able to escape that which is about to happen so that you can stand before the Son of Man. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power and that he had come from God. And after the Lord's Supper and sitting and dining with the disciples, he modeled servanthood by washing the disciples' feet. He even washed Judas's feet, the one who would betray him. And as was his custom, Jesus went to the Mount of Olives and the disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said, pray that you will not fall into temptation. And at this point, he withdrew from them about a stone's throw away. He knelt down and he prayed, Father, if you will, please take this cup from me, but not my will, but your will be done. An angel appeared and strengthened Jesus. In anguish, he prayed all the more earnestly as sweat like blood dropped to the ground. He went over to the disciples, and they were asleep. They were so exhausted from sorrow. He looked at them and said, why are you sleeping? Get up and pray so that you will not fall into temptation. And when Jesus came back the third time after praying, he found them still sleeping. He said, are you still sleeping and resting? Look, the hour is near. The Son of Man has been betrayed into the hands of sinners. Rise, let us go. Jesus prayed in times of preparation to guard against temptation, to ensure he did the Father's will. Now we too will be challenged to obey, to fulfill righteousness now. The burden of serving can rob us of our concern for man and the importance of bearing testimony. We will find difficult decisions will come our way. We must not forget the urgency of the mission as we face them. We will face rejection, but we must stand firm in the face of opposition. We will be sought by others longing to know that the Father will answer. We must assure them that he will. And like Jesus, we must pray to prepare our hearts to not fall into temptation so that we will be faithful to do the Father's will.